Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined, as always, on Friday for our betting show with Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis. Another good week last week, and hey, never in doubt with the Kansas City Chiefs minus 19. Never in doubt. Bro, the Jets were playing that second half like Gase had money on minus 20, or maybe even alternate spread. Never in doubt. Don't doubt the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's done that a few times, running Frank Gore. You are awesome, Isaac. I had arguably my worst betting week in like recent memory since I started putting like real significant money in. I think I've told the story a few times, but I can't online bet. So we go through a local bookie, and I do with a group. And we were all like, we always pick out like who people want. And if, you know, you and I say we're in the group and like we all want the same bet, like we'll triple it or double it, we'll go in real heavy. And we were way in on the Chargers last week. Like we were just like way in the bag of the Chargers, and they're up 24-3, and we're like texting each other like, yeah, like this is, look at this. This
yeah.
Easiest money we ever made. And it just like slowly it just starts melting away. And then they come down. It was one of our heaviest bets of the year. And good times were had on the Anthony Lynn Chargers completely giving away a game to Drew Lock.
You know what's disgusting is I'm back on them this week too against the Las Vegas Raiders, but like you just have to feel like, oh, like I'm just going to get screwed here somehow. Like Anthony Lynn is going to find a way to lose this game. He's going to, and what he's been doing now is I think that it used to make sense for the old Chargers with Phillip Rivers to go super conservative in the second half and start running the ball, but not with Justin Herbert, bro. Like stop doing, you got Justin Herbert, man. Let the kids sling it even if you're up 20.
I mean, they even answered back, like the Broncos got back in that game and they got the ball and just marched all the way down the field. And then they just got real conservative across like the 30 and had to kick that field goal to go up six instead of, you know, icing the game, just going up two scores. And you just feel it coming. It was like, oh, great. Like, here we go. Now, I will say Anthony Lynn, the last 2 weeks since they've come out of bye, they have been aggressive on early downs, which is a promising sign. You know, if they can do that the rest of the season, then Herbert's going to have a really high ceiling. The Chargers are also one of these teams, like the AFC Seahawks now, like they just don't play normal ones. Like they're all their games are yep. weird as hell, man. Like it's we say that all the time about them last year too, but they even going back like the Jaguars game 2 weeks ago where the Jaguars are getting like block punts for touchdowns and like they're still shooting out. It's helping Herbert's fantasy cause and sustaining his, you know, top five, you know, kind of output that he's put up. And we just needed him to start getting Hunter Henry some of this looks. We need some Hunter Henry points.
Yeah, we definitely do. All right, let's.
I got dragged last week. It was rough, man. It was real rough.
Yeah, I mean my week went okay. My biggest bet of the week, my biggest bet of the week in my personal action was Kansas City minus 19, and I had the Daily Roto subscriber Slack, like they were all giving me shit because the Jets looked good on the first two drives, right? They got down into the red zone. Mims looked good. Darnold like escaped a sack on 3rd and 10 and like delivered a strike. Like it was like, and everyone was like, oh, you know, the Jets are just going to lose by 10. And I was like, you guys don't understand. You guys don't understand this Adam Gase. Like I'm on the Patriots this week. This is how much I'm against the New York Football Jets right now.
Yeah,
but
I got them too on mine, but you were good last week. I want to stress to you, I bet these games, like we pick them. I bet the games we're picking, like myself. I'm putting my actual ducats on the line. But, you know, the one thing that kills me, not to just make this all about last week, is I'm like I'm like 25 minutes west of Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I woke up on Sunday, and I'm like shit is blowing around everywhere. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can swear in this podcast.
You can swear. But, you can swear.
But I'm like – and stuff was blowing away, blowing around the neighborhood, yard. Like, I've got a bunch of trees. All my leaves are in my neighbor's yard. I was like, yeah, they've got to deal with this now. But I just killed myself. I didn't bet the under in the Browns game. Like, I'm outside. I'm like, this is terrible. Like, and I'm like – a quarter, I'm like, why didn't I take the under in this game? Like, well, it was the easiest, like, thing. And I live right here, and I'm outside. I'm just like – it just sums up like the week. I just was not sharp last week at all on any level because that it was so bad out in the area here. I was like, there's no way they're gonna be able to throw and move the ball, and that's exactly what happened. It was like 6-6 at halftime, and you're just like, oh.
And it was one of those things where, like, it's going to throw a wrench in guys' stats for the next month, too, of, like 8 targets for 16 yards, you know? Like, it's going to – and I think Cleveland only ran, like, 46 plays on offense or something. So
they had six possessions. The whole game.
Yeah, so probably one of those games that I'm not going to be paying that much attention to in terms of signal and or noise. I mean,
it was the easiest under I could have bet in my life, because I was just outside in the conditions and just, like, totally was a rube.
Sometimes you gotta rube it up. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it this week. I will say, were you one of the other 170 million Americans who bet Green Bay last night -7.5? Or was that too square for you?
No, I was a little worried just about there was this one ongoing trend that forever. So that Green Bay was actually the first team since Thursday Night Football came back to actually win going west 2+ time zones. The first
interesting.
Yeah. And I was just like kind of thinking about that, and then just like thinking like, could Shanny run the ball? Like, could he keep it within 7? And I just got spooked out and just kind of left it. I was just like, and then one of these things that we're starting to see with trends, though, and there's one we'll probably talk about. There's another spot here that I want to bet to this week, but has some COVID stuff, is that there's just like the COVID injuries, and like that went into play last night with the 49ers who basically fielded a preseason team, and not a week 4 preseason team, like a week 1 preseason team last night.
Yeah, brutal.
That, like, you just have to look at some of this stuff individually and just kind of throw some stuff out the window, because this COVID stuff, especially now as it's ramped up, it started to just debilitate teams, some of the depth on these teams. And the 49ers already had injuries. And you talk about just what they had to put on the field last night. It was just a joke. And we're starting to see that. We're a little worried about this one spot, because I like the Ravens a lot this week. So we'll see what happens. I wish I would have got out of my own way. But I couldn't get out of my head in that trend, like, oh, man, no team's ever won. Shanahan just hates Mike Pettine, and he just runs it up on him. He's just dominated him. But without Blake Martinez on the field to exploit, there was none of that last night.
Yeah, I mean, I will say my analysis really was as simple as, like, Nick Mullins plus Trent Taylor and Richie James, although Richie James was incredible in that game. My thought was basically, like, say whatever you want about San Francisco. The bad part of the Packers team is, like, their defense is not very good, but the 49ers just didn't have the tools to take care of it. So, you know, everyone and their mom and their donkey who bet on that game, you know, ended up being right. That would have been one of my picks this week. It was one of my picks in the picks contest that I'm in. But I'll go ahead and let you start here with your fifth selection.
Well, I'm starting with the Patriots. They're my 5. It's more of a bet against the Jets at this point, like you said. I mean, they're just so bad, and they kind of just give up at a certain point every game and start giving Frank Gore carries in the third and fourth quarter. They did it. It's not – last week was not the first time they've done that. They played the Colts early in the season and were just getting smoked and just said, we'll lay down. Whatever. We're good. We're good. Let's get out of here. I will say this. The Patriots have, like, you know, they were game last week. I mean, they took Buffalo to the end there when, you know, Cam loses that fumble. Cam was operating the offense that he was operating the first 3 weeks of the season, basically. You know, if they can run the ball effectively on a team, they're okay. Like, they're not great. They're okay. It's just, you know, he had the fumble, the ill-timed turnover. But if the Patriots are able to run the football and control game script, like, they're okay. It's when they have to chase points. And they get pressed and they have to start actually throwing the football is when they get in trouble. I don't think they'll have to do that here. And I still, like, their defense is still just all right enough. It's regressed obviously from last year, but it's still good enough to thwart this Jets offense.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, I don't even know if the Jets players are, like, giving it their all at this point. We got Sam Darnold, who's banged up again. He's dealing with that same injury in his shoulder. I just don't have any faith in their ability to generate enough points, even to get to the back door. Like, literally, even to get to the back door, I, like, okay, the Patriots are up 10. The Jets are driving with 4 minutes left. I'm not even, like, really sweating them coming to come get the field goal. Like, I'm really not. Like, it's like they're just going to hand off to Frank Gore. I mean, and Perine looks okay to me. Like, I feel like they should maybe give him some more, like, targets and stuff out of the backfield. Not that it really, like, this is only a fantasy football complaint, really. But, this was my number 4. I feel very confidently that the Jets might, like, they're gonna set a record, I think, for not covering the spread, basically, is what I think. Like, I think
team that hasn't covered any game this year, who I'll pick next.
Yeah, the Dallas football Cowboys are definitely a team that deserves to be 14-point underdogs against the Steelers. That's very true.
But Darnold's faced Belichick twice, and just he hasn't even thrown a touchdown in two games against. So I mean, even with the Patriots regressing, like, remember this is the ghost game last year.
Yep,
I'm seeing ghost game. So I mean, I just don't really see how they really move the football. Still, I definitely am. I'm just it's just really easy. It's a bet against the Jets at this point. We're in the point of the season where it's just okay. Like last year, remember we just like would pick the Ravens and Chiefs every week. So we're like, why bet against them? We're winning money every week. Like, why keep going against betting against the Cowboys and Jets? Because we're winning money every week betting against those teams. Why go away from it?
Man, what could have been? What could have been with this Cowboys team? But yeah, the Steelers should definitely be in here. So the Patriots was my number four, but my number five is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 4.5 points playing at home against the Saints. They should get Chris Godwin back in this game. So that means that their 11 personnel, imagine telling this to someone 24 months ago, the Buccaneers 11 personnel is going to be Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and Leonard Fournette. Like that's like someone who like is a very casual fan of the NFL. That's like close to what their all-star team is. And I don't think AB is going to play very much in this game. Like my guess is probably like, he runs like 15 routes, but gets targeted like six times or something. I don't know. Maybe he scores, but at this point, I think I kind of want to be betting against Drew Brees. Like, I think the way I'm looking at it is Brees just cannot push the ball down the field. Like, their offense is so reliant on these 7-yard throws to Alvin Kamara and to, you know, I guess Michael Thomas is maybe going to be back in this game, but I, you know, I've heard that one before. I'll believe it when Michael Thomas is actually on the field, but yeah, I mean, I just think that at this point, the Buccaneers are probably like the second or third best team in the NFL, and the Saints are not in that tier, and 4.5 points is not enough for me to want to take the Saints side.
I actually kind of like the points for the Saints here. I actually think it's like last week. I think it's like too much. I think the Bucs should be a little shorter, actually.
Well, the Saints have already schooled the Buccaneers once this year.
Yeah, I mean, you still look at since the Saints have not been this large of an underdog with Drew Brees since 2017, which is pretty crazy, you know, to think about it in itself. But if they do get Thomas back, I mean, like you said, it's got to be one of those things that we have to see it to believe it. Get Emmanuel Sanders back. I still think they can be effective enough to kind of keep this within a field goal if they don't even outright win. It's one of those ones that's been weird. I thought that the points were too high. It's come down a little bit because I think it opened at 5.5 and came down a little bit because people are looking at it. Well, I do think it should have been shorter. So I could see some value potentially in the Saints. I think Brees has actually played a lot better than the narrative has surrounded him. He's never pushed the ball downfield.
He did keep them in that Chicago game when they could have lost pretty easily, I think.
And they probably even could have covered in that game too if they don't get that pass interference on Jimmy Graham. But the narrative surrounding Brees, like his peripheral stuff all looks pretty similar to what it's been the last 3 years. The biggest difference with the Saints is their defense sucks. Like they've always started slow and then they've come around midseason because they've got a lot of talent on defense. And they've always done this thing where they suck like for like 3 weeks, then they get going and they play good by the end of the season. It just hasn't happened yet. Like, they're still just playing awful. Like, Marshawn Lattimore's, like, he's been really bad so far this year. And the boundary corner's been bad. Janoris Jenkins gets, like, a pass interference every, like, three plays.
Yeah.
And they're getting crushed in the slot again. But the defense just has not come around. You know, we'll see if they get Quan Alexander and hear what kind of difference he even makes. And Malcolm Jenkins hasn't played well at all, so they brought him back. But I'm kind of back and forth on that game. I think that the Saints can keep it close.
I think they can too. I don't think that this is like a slam dunk or anything like that, but I mean, I'm pretty high on this Buccaneers team. Like, I think the defense looks great, and I definitely was like lower than the market on Brady and stuff heading into the year, but it looks like that is wrong. Like, it looks like Brady is still pretty much Tom Brady.
Yeah, see, the Bucs for me, like, they have these pieces and they have these moments where you're like, yeah, this is all working the way it should. And then they do things like lose to the Bears or should have lose to the Giants. on Monday night. Like, they should have lost that game on Monday night. Like, there's not even a question about it. Like, if Daniel Jones is even Drew Lock level of competency, they win that game. Daniel Jones is like this dude. Like, you just wait. Like, he's like Josh Allen with like none of the good stuff. Like he's just like all the bad things of Josh Allen put into a quarterback. He just makes these plays where just like head scratching, like terrible, and gives the other team at least double digit points a game. Like, you're getting double digit points per game if you play against the Giants right now. Like, Daniel Jones is going to find a way to give you two scores on some level.
Man, Daniel Jones is terrible. Man, he is bad. I thought there was kind of hope for him, and I liked him in fantasy football this year, but he is really, really bad. Daniel Jones is.
And like, he still runs around, and like, you can see like the stuff like that, like scouts could talk themselves into. But like, he just does so many egregious things. And you're just like, what the hell is this, man? Like, I'd be curious to see if they end up with a really high pick, what they do. They probably won't do anything because Gettleman is a rube, but,
there's already been a report that Gettleman won't take a quarterback, even if they have the number one pick.
My son's a huge Giants fan. And like, he's already like, we should have taken Herbert. He's like already on it. Like, should have just taken Herbert, because Andrew Thomas has been terrible too. Which you can live with, because like sometimes left tackles like just suck coming in and then they get it right. We've seen that happen like a lot, and like cornerbacks too. Sometimes it's just not an instant translation. But like, he's already like thrown in the towel on Daniel Jones. Like, this far in his career, he's like, I'm done. I've washed my hands of it.
Yeah. I mean, they should have taken Herbert. I mean, not that anyone would have done it, but I mean, if people remember, Justin Herbert went back to school so that he didn't have to play for the Giants. Like, he saw it all. He saw the stars aligning out there, and he was like, yep, I'm going to go back and be, you know, I'm going to go back and win 10 games at Oregon and just be great. And that, I mean, well, he wasn't great in college. This Justin Herbert stuff is so weird. Like, The fact that he is so much better in the NFL than he was in college. But what is your next game here? Oh, Steelers, Dallas.
Yeah, it would be higher if I just, you know, if the number wasn't so large.
13.5.
The Chiefs, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we get Garrett Gilbert to at least give maybe some level of – I think Garrett Gilbert might actually be, like, the lesser of all evils for the Cowboys receiver side. You know, the AAF's leading passer, Garrett Gilbert. Because he's actually run like an offense where he has to throw the football.
That's what I was thinking. Is Garrett Gilbert should be better than DiNucci. Like, he's played in it. Like, Garrett Gilbert has played NFL games before.
Dude, I mean, the Cowboys' approach on Sunday night was so insanely horrible. So you have Ben DiNucci, who's like only calling card is like he can kind of scoot, like he can run.
Yeah.
They have like no RPOs involved in the game plan at all. They don't do anything with him in that level. Then they come out and just run like a high school offense. Like, they're like three plays in the game, they're almost like having Cedric Wilson throw a pass. And you're like, what the hell is going on right now? The game plan was just hilarious that they had. No absolute kind of like focus on offense whatsoever of what they actually really wanted to do. Zeke's running stuff out of the Wildcat. It's like, what is even happening to this team right now? The defense is just horrible. They're going to get run on by James Conner. Ben's basically just been like a caretaker all season. So it's like, he's not going to be forced to make any mistakes. They've got great receivers to kind of take advantage of anything when they do want to throw the football, any of the short underneath stuff. I don't even know if Dallas, like, they'll score. They'll probably get how many touchdowns? Do you think they score a touchdown this game? Do they get double digit points?
They will score a touchdown in this game. They will score a lone touchdown in this game, and it will be CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is going to score a touchdown, and they'll score 10 points in this game. So you need the Steelers to get to 28, basically.
Which is easy game, I think. I think you're looking at 30. I mean, it's basically what Dallas is giving up every week. And Dallas is, we hinted at, they have not covered yet this season. They're on a historic pace, obviously. And then Pittsburgh is a league best 6-1 against the spread to start the season. And they've been good to us on this show. So I'm going to keep, you know, just go with the Steelers. Like I said, I'm in the mode with you. I'm just going to keep betting against the Jets and Cowboys until they absolutely tell me I can't bet against them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Cowboys as they currently stand, I think for me to bet on them, they're going to have to get to Jets territory where it's like three touchdowns, which is absurd. And yeah, I don't know. It's been a very discouraging season. And so many of my fantasy teams that I was like, oh, I'm going to win all the money at the start of the year. This Dak Prescott injury has been so absolutely brutal. Okay. So my next one here is Arizona -4.5 at home against Miami. Love Tua. Love the long-term prognosis, but this is – Tua looked bad, man. Tua looked bad against the Rams, and I don't think that we can count on the Miami DST to rack up – what did they get? Two touchdowns. They had the fumble touchdown and then the Jakeem Grant kick return touchdown. So I just –
And another fumble recovered inside the 10 that set up a third touch, the Gaskin run.
Yep.
So the defense basically got them 21.
Yeah, the defense got him there. I mean, and I think Tua will probably have a couple plays in this game where I'm like, oh, wow, like he can do this. And certainly Fitzpatrick couldn't do it. But, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are, I think, a pretty good NFL team. The defense seems not great. But we're finally seeing the horizontal raid tilt upwards a little bit. We're seeing them push the ball to Kirk a little bit. We're seeing them, you know, instead of throwing, you know, 1 yard screens to DeAndre Hopkins, they're at least like 8 yard throws to DeAndre Hopkins. And don't underestimate the removal of Kenyon Drake and his like 3.2 yards per carry from this offense. Like Kenyon Drake was the worst and least functional part of the Arizona Cardinals offense. And I think that just giving those snaps to Chase Edmonds, one, it's going to encourage them to pass more because Edmonds is a better receiver than a rusher, but also just, you know, they're going to have a higher success rate on those rushing plays. So I really like this spot for Arizona.
This is my one. And it's just because I think what Miami did last week, you know, definitely is fresh in people's mind. I think this would be a little larger or be getting bet up. But I do think that the Dolphins defense is pretty good. I think they're definitely playing above their heads based on opponents that they've had. And Brian Flores had a great game plan. He just, you know, basically didn't respect Jared Goff at all, which not many people should do. And then you get the 21 points. It's getting curious to see what they do with Tua because like how much of that was just last week, them saying like kind of turtling. You know, you get that lead and you got this rookie quarterback against Aaron Donald. They basically just had him like rolling out left and throwing short passes, but they only averaged 3 yards per offensive play. That's it. By far, they're fewest in a game this season. Arizona is coming off of that bye. They're at home. You're getting the East Coast team going west, which is something that never gets talked about like inversely with teams traveling. And then, you know, the Kyler Murray factor, one, they've just been better as they've gotten on. Arizona –
yeah, every game weeks, they get better. They do.
In the past 4 weeks, they are averaging a league-high 7 yards per offensive play. They were 23rd weeks 1 through 4. Kyler Murray is now averaging 13.3 yards per completion over that span as opposed to 9.3 yards per completion prior, which, you know, early in the season I was still riding hard on jabbing them about the horizontal raid. And they've been moving it downfield here recently. So, and then the other factor, too, is I just think that Kyler Murray – is like just genuinely like hard to prepare for at this point with the way he runs. There's not like a running style like his, you know, it's
very he's unique. Allen Iverson, dude.
Yeah. It's very unique. He almost has like a crossover, that move that like that stop the stutter.
It's because move, it's because he runs like Stewie Griffin, dude. It's like, he takes like 100 steps to get 2 yards. And it's like, cause he can change because he has that foot frequency, he can change direction so fast. And you're like, frequency. No, yeah. No, oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been watching the tape. Yeah. So I think that's the big reason. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why he's so hard to defend is that you think he's going one way and then the other way and then the other way and then he just comes back the way that he came and you move yourself out of the way. Like that's because he never gets hit either. He's kind of like Lamar from last year. We're like, you're never getting clean hits on this dude. He goes down or he gets out of bounds. Like I think I've watched every Cardinals game all the way through this year and I don't remember him taking like one actual hit.
No. Yeah. I mean, I like the spot. The Dolphins are pretty banged up too offensively with having the Tua question mark, just knowing what we don't really know what we have yet in Tua. None of their offensive players scare you on any level, especially with Fitzmagic removed from the board. So I'm really curious to see how these guys play from a fantasy stance. I think we might've talked about it last week, just what we get from Gesicki and Parker, guys that have to win up top and win these 50-50 balls. Are they going to get those? And we didn't see it for 1 week. So Yeah, I mean, and Gaskin is probably their one of their better offensive players, and he's not available in this game. Looks like, who knows what the hell's going on with Matt Breida. Jordan Howard might have to play, which is always a gift to everybody. but I'm with you, man. I like
the where would you rank Jordan? Because so I have Jordan Howard in the Scott Fish Bowl. Where would you rank Jordan Howard if Breida doesn't play? Like, how many? Well, okay, this is maybe the better line. How many Miami Dolphins record a rush in this game?
Oh, yeah, I kind of tweeted it. I thought that it was going to be like probably like 6 to 7, anyways. So,
yeah, we'll have,
like Jakeem Grant's getting a carry, Lynn Bowden's getting a carry, Malcolm Perry might get a carry. The two is going to run RPO, they might run more RPO this week. You know, if Breida plays, you know, he'll get a carry. Howard, I mean, listen, Jordan Howard, it's pretty easy for fantasy because it's like just how many boxes does he check? None. He checks one.
He gets one. Yeah, if they're on the one yard line, you can guarantee he's getting the ball.
But road underdog, nope, like not a great spot. Catches passes, no. If game script dependent, yes. Just if they get to the 1 yard line, he's good to go, man. He has 18 carries for 14 yards this year. I'm excited to see him back.
Do you remember when he had that 3-touchdown game in the Island game last year?
Yeah,
And he caught 2 of them.
Against the Packers.
Yep, and that was the night Davante Adams got hurt.
And someone got hurt early in the game. Oh, it was Jamal Williams. He got hurt early in the game. Because I remember being on Jamal Williams' prop, and he got a concussion like earlier in the game. Yeah, he got like a walk-in receiving touchdown. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. You never forget the bad beats. I'm excited
that these Matt Breida best ball teams are going to have life until like his hamstring.
Same. I have Breida in you and I have that a main event team that's doing really well, but I have Breida in another main event team that could desperately use his points this week, and not looking like we are going to get them. Okay, so I guess we already did your number one. The other one that I have on my list is the Los Angeles Chargers -1 point at home to the Las Vegas Raiders. I know that it's basically terrible. It's been terrible to be on the Chargers side this year, but they just seem so much better than the Raiders. Like I think if the Chargers were like adequately coached, they would be like the sixth best team in the NFL or something.
I definitely think you're undervaluing the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders offense especially has been really good.
Yeah, I do go against the Raiders like every week.
they're number one in scoring rate per drive, and they're sixth in the league in EPA on offense altogether. And they faced some good defenses and been good. Like, they were really good against the Bucs. I mean, they were in that game against the Bucs until they gave up 21 points at the end. They beat the Chiefs. Their offense has actually been really, really good. They just don't have a lot of household names, so they don't get any credit, really. Like, their best player is Darren Waller, you know, so, like, no one really is, like, kind of geared towards them. And Derek Carr is just not fun to root for because he's, like, so nondescript. Like, you know, it's just – it's like you just hear all his, like, post-game pressers. I do like the Chargers a lot. I like the over in this game, too. I think if I was to pick a side, just because I don't think the Chargers' defense is very good. Pretty much my litmus test for you is, did you go up 30 points to Drew Lock? If the answer is yes, then you probably don't have a good defense under any circumstances. But Herbert has been so good. Like, so electric. Like, pushing the ball downfield. He's making plays where he's, like, no-look throwing dudes now. It's like, what is going on, man? I think we talked about Herbert on the rookie show I did with you on the tape cast, maybe, or one of them, and we were just kind of like not into Herbert as a prospect like everyone else. He showed up – the only thing he like showed up strong was like touchdown interception ratio. You're like, well, he doesn't turn it over a lot. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot, and like he's mobile. Like, those were like what
I didn't buy that, though, because if you watched him at Oregon, the interceptions he would throw were backbreaking. And to be fair to the scouts, he has done that in the NFL. They would have beaten the Chiefs. Not only would they not have gone to overtime, they would have won that Chiefs game if he had not thrown that, what was it, second and long across the body, running the wrong way of the field. And he just gifts it to, I don't remember the Chiefs defender that caught it, but like, He does do some of that stuff where it's like, you look great for 90% of this game, and then those two throws were so bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so good, man. And they, like I said, the coming out of the bye, they've been aggressive on first downs. They were throwing on first down 39% of the time before the bye in Herbert starts, and it's been 52% since. So we like that. Been a little more aggressive. Yeah, I definitely probably like the over a little bit in this game, but I'm so scorned after last week. I'm so hurt by the Chargers.
So hurt, yeah.
Like, you understand, like, it was a crippling endeavor, man. It was really hard. It was like, it was one of those two where, like, if you just come out and lose by 30, it's cool. But the way it happened with the amount of money that was in play.
Very, very tough scenes. Okay, so then that means my number one is not on your list at all. And you are probably, I bet you can guess who it is.
Is it? Well, I still have two on mine.
Okay, yes. Okay, so you go first then, because my number one is still floating out there. So I'll let you go and see if you get it.
Well, my two. So you have one left?
I have one left, yeah.
My two is the Seahawks.
Okay, that's my one.
Okay, because it's just, yeah. I've beaten this to death on this show because it's the only show I come on and really give like a bunch of betting takes. Is in this spot. It's since 2012 when they drafted Russell Wilson. Seattle's 24-9 in the Eastern time zone, 22-9-2 against the spread. They've won 10 straight games in the Eastern time zone, 8-1-1 against the spread. Under three is amazing here. If you can get under three, I think. I mean, Seattle's just, they're getting Carlos Dunlap now. They're getting Jamal Adams back. I don't think their defense is going to be good, but if it can just be okay, it's fine because Russ is playing so out of his mind right now. I don't know where – and, like, because Russ has always been so hyper-efficient. Anyways, like, where does this fall? Like, he can't throw he can't have a 10% touchdown rate in a season, can he? Like, is it possible? Like, do we think that he
so
can?
the reason why I think it is kind of possible is the Seahawks are still kind of a low-volume offense. Like, it feels like they only have 7 possessions a game, but and 4 of them are touchdowns. So yes, 100%. Yeah. It's not because they're flailing out there. It's because, like, most of their drives are like 8 minutes and they end in a touchdown.
I mean, that's one of the things we talk about being efficient though, is like, and being inefficient is the correlation between volume. You know, if you're super efficient, like you're going to run more play. Like the Bucks last year, like they had a ton of possessions, they had a ton of plays because they were inefficient and turned the ball over a lot. Seahawks don't turn the ball over. And when Russ does throw, they're great pass attempts. They're not being wasted. So they, you know, being efficient definitely lowers your volume. And it's been like that for the case for his career too. It's just now they're more aggressive. They have more aggressive mindset, which we love. But yeah, I'm all over the Seahawks this week, man.
Yeah, Seahawks seem like a smash. And man, what happened to the Bills, dude? What happened to the Josh Allen magic? Like, this game is obviously the number one game of the week for daily fantasy. Like, people are jamming in Lockett and Metcalf and Russ and Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and maybe John Brown if he plays. Cole Beasley, more expensive than John Brown on DraftKings. Didn't think we would did not think that we would end up here. But yeah, I mean, what happened to the Bills, dude?
We talked about this on the Sharp Angles podcast to give a little drop here. The first month of the season, they were doing everything right. I think we talked about on the show when we took them when they were going to play the Raiders. And they were running more aggressive. They're passing a lot on first down, one of the highest rates in the league. They're running more play action than Josh Allen's ever run in his career. They're using a lot of jet motion, almost at the highest rate of anyone in the league. And then the last 4 weeks, it's just kind of their offense has devolved just into jamming targets to Stephon Diggs. That's like what it's become the last 4 weeks. You know, you look at Diggs' splits the past month and how he was used the first 4 weeks of the season, everyone was involved. Everyone's got their hand in the cookie jar. And it's just Josh Allen, like, I'm just going to jam as many targets as I can to Stephon Diggs. And it's kind of hurt the offense. They're not throwing as much on first down. They're not using it. The play actions come down a little bit. It's just kind of all just not been as what they were doing the first month. It's just all slowly kind of regressed. I do think it's a good spot, at least from a statistical standpoint. I think that they'll be better this week. I don't know if they'll, you know, it'll be enough to be where they can hang around in the game. I definitely don't think it's within three, obviously, because why we're taking.
Well, I hope they hang for three quarters to get some good fantasy points out of Allen and Diggs, and then I hope that we get like a big Metcalf bomb in the fourth quarter that just puts the exclamation point on the victory.
Yeah, and with the Seattle side, it's so easy just to know where the ball is going, isn't it? It just makes it so good to know, like, hey, these two receivers are really what they got. David Moore is going to get three targets. Will he score on them? Maybe. But, you know, he's going to get his three targets. Disley starting to play a little bit more every week. Like Olsen snap. Olsen's like routes per dropback have gone down the last 3 weeks. So he's starting to kind of squeezed out. It's just really easy. Like, it's just those two receivers, man. And I know that they haven't kind of oscillated games the last, you know, 4 weeks. Like, the target shares have been really catawampus, where one guy is just dominating targets each week. And it might be like that again this week if they, you know, do Tre'Davious White, they do work away from him. I don't necessarily know if they will or not, because we've seen, like, when Gilmore played against Metcalf, like, he still got his, you know, deep target, and he can win. But it might be another game where, yeah, they just feast on, you know, Josh Norman in the secondary corner and just don't care. Like they did Drake Kirkpatrick that Sunday night game. Like, they just picked on Drake Kirkpatrick that whole night. They threw 16 targets at Drake Kirkpatrick. Like, even if it wasn't locked.
Poor guy.
Like, he just felt so bad, man. It was like, oh, like, this is on an island game. Everyone's watching this, but definitely excited about that game from a DFS stance, and love the Seattle side just because it's a spot where I've bet Seattle consistently and there's no reason they've given me to go away from it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, then what is your last remaining game?
My last remaining game is the Ravens, man. Like, every time
I would be jamming this if I had no COVID concerns, but like, right. It's just like, what if we show up on Sunday morning and two more guys can't play? You know, it's just like, COVID is impacting the NFL season and many of our lives in many different ways. But one of the most frustrating ways is that you are oftentimes betting these spots with incomplete information. But I agree with you. This is a great spot.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to get off of them. And then it looks like we still have to wait and see. So it's Friday. We're recording this, you know, monitor who's going to be out. But early word was that a lot of the guys that were projected to have to be sidelined outside of Marlon Humphrey, like, look like they can still be eligible to play. It's like one of those situations like where like it could be not as bad as we initially thought or still be as bad. So just keep a pulse on it. But I don't think that even with like they're missing some of those linebackers, I don't think the Colts have the weaponry to exploit some of the absences here.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think they have the horses in the receiving game. And like Rivers has been fine from a passing standpoint against, you know, two teams that are awful against the pass. That's not going to be the case here. And then also we never get the Ravens on a fast track ever. Like, we just never do. The way they're in that awful AFC North division. It's same thing.
Yeah, every field there is like freaking slop. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get – we never – this is only Lamar – this will be Lamar Jackson's only his sixth start ever on turf and only his third start ever in a non-fully outdoor stadium. So we've got an opportunity here.
Wow. Man, I mean, is this gonna be our Dobbins week? Is this finally gonna be the week where we see J.K. Dobbins get, you know, like 19 carries and 5 targets and just completely crush? It seems like it's maybe setting up that way.
I mean, I think when you look at where he's priced on both sites, especially, you know,
$4,900 on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's 53 and 49, and. Yeah, he's 53 and 49. If you tell me I get 16 touches again that price, like even with Gus Edwards still kind of being like knowing if they get inside the five, it'll probably be Gus Edwards. If I can get 16 touches for that cost with that kind of upside and just kind of juice, because you've seen it like that.
Yes.
Against the Steelers. And like that field was trash too. And, you know, I want to be at least be early for the J.K. Dobbins, you know, game where he has like the 60-yard touchdown run. I just want to be there. So, I mean, he'll be a guy definitely excited. We just don't get the – even Marquise Brown at the squeaky wheel thing. Like, we don't get these guys because their team is built to play, like, fast too. Like, all their guys are speed demons. And even Duvernay. Yep. Like, and we never get to see them play on a just on a fast track ever. So they've only played one dome game. Lamar has one dome start in his career, which is crazy.
We should start a petition to get the Ravens into a dome. I mean, it makes sense considering the environment that they play in anyways. It's just very off brand for them as a team because they're all about the toughness and the outdoors and hard tackling and everything. But yeah, I mean, this like Lamar and those guys inside of a dome for the next decade. Like, sign me up for Lamar in a dome. I would be there for that.
Where do you stand on the – because we always – my buddies, we always watch the games and everything. Like, where do you stand on – I'm, like, as I've gotten older, and, like, it's probably such a fantasy thing, like, I don't even want any games to play out
dome
anymore.
Dome. All domes. 100% domes. We'll never have to deal with wind. We'll never have to deal with weather. I don't have to talk about LeSean McCoy in the snow. I don't have to worry about any of this dumb shit. It's just – and it would make – scoring would go up, and it would also help with injuries, right? Because this is one of the things we know is Soldier Field. Guys are always doing their knee in Soldier Field. People say the way that the turf is set up at the Meadowlands, that would get taken care of because it would just all be standardized. Because what would happen is if every dome was inside, the NFL and the NFLPA would say every environment has to be exactly like this, and it would be all collectively bargain and it would be fine. So yeah, I'm 100% with that.
I know Get Off My Lawn Twitter is not gonna football is not like that, or you know, snow Twitter and weather Twitter. Some people like that. Like, I don't, to me,
no,
I
a lot of people like that, dude, because they think that's like real football.
Like, I don't want it to be January, and I don't want to have to see Patrick Mahomes play in like a snowstorm. That's like, because like that would all like say, like, hypothetically, like, we get to the AFC Championship game and the Chiefs are in there and Kansas City has like 3 feet of snow or something, and like we know exactly what their offense is, and like saying like we don't get to see that and like they end up losing, it would be like, well, if they would have just played a normal day, they would have fine. Like, you know, I don't want that. I don't want to live with that. but yeah, get the Ravens. Like, this Ravens team is built to play on turf, baby. Like, get them out in these elements. And
yeah, you sold me on this one. I'm in. I'm gonna bet this one. I like this one a lot. I'm gonna be on this side.
I think the Colts are one of these teams that are like good against like
bad, like, teams. Yes.
Well, they're like a 6.5 out of 10. You know, like they're beat up on all the fours, the fives, maybe even beat another six, slay another six. But, like, are the Colts a team we believe can punch up? I don't. I'm not there on them. I don't think that they can punch up. Yeah, they could beat maybe the – you know, they could beat maybe they beat, like, the Titans. You know, like, that's, like, a team, like, I could see, like, them being able to hang with and beat teams, like, in that area. But do I think they can punch up with, like, the
yeah, class? Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers.
Like, yeah. Those teams in the AFC, do I think they can? I don't. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'm wrong. But this is like this has gone down too because of the COVID stuff. So I just feel like, I mean, we might get to Sunday and the Ravens might be dogs. I don't know, man. Like, it's 1.5 right now.
Yeah, I am gonna bet this right now. I got a bet in there on them. Yeah, you totally sold me there. Even if it loses, I'm pretty confident that is very likely to be the right side. All right. Well, there we go, man. We got DFS takes to get off. I mean, the one thing that I'm on this week that is off the market is that Denver Atlanta game. Yeah, I really want to play Julio and Fant and Judy, and I probably will mix in some Hayden Hurst and some Zacchaeus and some Blake. I would like for there to be one pregame report on, oh, Blake is going to start for Ridley or Zacchaeus is going to start for Ridley. That would be helpful to me. But I just kind of, one of the things I do is I'm like, what is a game that could have like 95 pass attempts that the market just does not expect? And that seems like that game to me, because Atlanta can't run and Denver is super game script sensitive to their pass to run ratio. They run all the time when a game is within 7 points, but then when it's outside of 7 points, they start to pass like crazy. So that's the game I'm really looking at.
Yeah, we kind of hit talk about a little bit before the show. I just love a couple of the individual pieces there. So just a really natural, easy stack. Fant is looked healthy last week. You know, is getting his targets. We haven't had like the Fant like breakout like yak game either. You know, where, because we know he's capable of like having Kittle-ish like type yak, where he just like, you know, catches like one of these 4 yard passes and breaks a few tackles and turns it into like a 40 yard gain or like something like that. And then Judy, you know, being moved from the slot last week to perimeter wide receiver, and if that, you know, can hold with Tim Patrick coming back, definitely has some upside. Well, these guys, both those guys are cheap. Judy's really cheap on both sites. And then Julio without Calvin Ridley is just such an easy, like, just grab for targets and volume. In the three games that Ridley missed to close last year, he had 20, 15, and 13 targets, and he already has 10, 9, and 10 targets the past three games is coming back from injury. So it seems like a really easy spot to just like where Julio could get just like a bunch of volume this week.
Yeah, I'm all the way with you on that. And I think that Julio will probably end up not being as popular as he should be, right? Because we got Lockett there.
He never is.
He never is. There are a lot of great wide receiver plays.
He's not going to score a touchdown. I'm not playing him.
Man, Julio.
He is expensive still. It's like he doesn't drop. Like his price never goes down.
Yeah, but like, so for example, he's less expensive than Diggs. And I think Diggs will be far more owned in contests. Yeah.
100%. And you're talking about probably similar target pies, or probably less actually. Well, I mean, Diggs has been, they've just been jamming so many targets to him that I guess I can't say that, but I think he definitely will be lower owned. And Julio is a guy like, I feel like people look for reasons not to play for most weeks. Like, right. Like, has it been like that for a couple of years when he's like been always at like the top of the position? People are just like, well, I'm not going to play Julio. He's not going to score. No one likes him.
Yeah, for sure. I'm 100% with you. All right, what do we got? What do we got going on over at Sharp Football Analysis right now?
Same story. We've got this week it's Sharp 25% off the little discount this week. If you guys go over there, Warren released like all his to-date records for everybody, so you can go check out. He's been really hot all year. And he's been putting a lot of money in people's pockets. If you just tail all his bets, even if you don't like my stuff and you listen to this because you want to be on more of the betting stuff, you can go check out that. You can even get a little week pass, a month pass, rest of the season, whatever you want to do. Pre-Snap Motion, me and Chad Scott talking fantasy, Sharp Angles, me, Dan Pizzuta, and Cleve TA talking, kind of just doing our real football analysis thing with some betting stuff mixed in and giving our takes on these weekly games. Then you and I here, year-to-date record still smashing, even with me last week being terrible.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep crushing. We're going to keep making them bucks. And one bad week does not a season make. So let's go out and get after it this week, guys. See you next week.